Got the 2-1 win over Vancouver Sunday. Big match Saturday night in Houston against the Dynamo. Neck and neck in the ML West standings. He's the voice of the Timbs. Spend some great time here in Eugene at KEZI Sports. Follow on Twitter. The handle's at Jake Zivin. Jake, how's it going?
Steve, it's going well. How are you?
All right. Before I do like I did last time and give out improper information, so check me here. 5 o'clock on the West Coast, TV coverage, yep. This time on Root TV.
That is correct. We'll be on Root Sports Saturday night, 5 o'clock Pacific.
All right. One in a row. I'm getting the hot hand.
Starting a streak.
You had a Twitter post that really grabbed my attention from 6 days ago. You got a gift, a scarf, from a group that calls itself the ECP, the East Coast Platoon. Now, we know how nuts the fans are out here. So you're telling me the following has grown to the point where you get repped all over the country? Because that was really cool.
Oh, man, it's not even just that, and it's not even really a new thing. So we'll be down in Texas this week with the Lone Star Brigade, and we go to Denver, it's the Rocky Mountain Battalion. It's literally all over the country. There's groups of fans that live in Denver or live in Texas or live in Arizona or live in California or wherever it is that are fans of the Timbers. They have their own little group with a great kind of Army-related name everywhere, and they show up to the game once a year when the Timbers come to play, sometimes once every 2 years if it's an Eastern Conference market. To me, it's one of the most, if not the most special thing about the club, that it has that kind of, I mean, the support is the most special part of the club. And that kind of extension of it all around the country is so cool to see. I don't know that there's another MLS team like that. And I love all the different names and all the different groups and getting to see them when we go around the country.
Now, that was brilliant. Portland made a roster addition. The announcement yesterday, a New Zealander, some international experience. What could you tell us about Bill Tuiloma and the role he might play?
Tuiloma! That's it. Yeah, it's a depth piece, I think. He's 22 years old. He's still young. Has some big-time experience with the New Zealand national team most recently this summer, playing in 3 matches in the Confederations Cup, which was a big tournament in Russia. Was previously with Marseille, which is a big club in France, but only made 2 appearances in the first division there. Was mostly with kind of their second team. I think the team views him as a depth piece. It's a 6-month signing, so basically through the end of the year, and then with options for the next couple of years. So if he comes, if he really impresses, then he might be here for a little bit. If not, it's I guess low risk, you could say, and it's just kind of a depth piece to have a young prospect in for the next 6 months and to get a look at him.
Talking Timbers football with Jake Zivin. Let's get to Sunday's win at Vancouver. Early in the game, the Timbers strike, but the source, just over 13 minutes in, quite the start for the rookie. And I'm going to take a chance here. What could you tell us about Jeremy Ebobasi?
And that is the toughest one. It's Ebobasi.
Ah!
I'm so happy. I think most people were so happy for him. People will learn his name, I think, and it'll be kind of like Mariota, right? It was Mariota, it was Mariota. Eventually, everybody knew how to say his name because he was the best player in the country.
Nice.
I don't know that Jeremy will quite reach that level. I don't want to put that pressure on him. He's a really good player, big prospect. He's 20 years old, with the 4th overall pick of the draft this year. The Timbers traded up from 10 to 4 to get him. Youth national team player, has been kind of a young prospect of American soccer for a few years now. And this was really his first chance in MLS. He had played off the bench a few times, but not an extended look. Fernando Adi gets suspended. It falls to him, and he certainly shines during his first start. Is he going to play that well every match the rest of the way? Probably not. Fernando Adi's back this week. Is Jeremy going to get the same amount of time this week? Probably not, but I think great to see from a Timbers perspective that they have a young guy who's capable of stepping in and doing that, and it just increases the depth. He's a really good kid as well, so I think everyone's really happy to see what he did on Sunday in Vancouver.
Yeah, and in the 49th minute, he assisted on what turned out to be the game winner, but later in the game, up 2-1, Vancouver was putting the pressure on those final 8-10 minutes. A pretty steely performance in goal by Jake Leeson.
Yeah, it was, and I think he needed that. He was great last year, and he made some spectacular save after spectacular save a year ago. And I don't think he quite found that rhythm this year. Not necessarily poor play, but maybe some goals that he, I think, would hope he did better at. Not necessarily that he'd get the blame for, but I think he was letting in some goals that he thought he could save. And Vancouver, he was great. His best game of the season, I think. And as you mentioned, he kept the Timbers up a goal in the first half, and then he kept them up a goal for the rest of the match after they took the lead back in the second half and held on for the win.
Talking Timber soccer with Jake Zivin, a couple of the Timbers were selected to play for Team USA, who won last night the Gold Cup against Jamaica. Darlington Nagbe, a starter, Liam Ridgewell out injured. As an ever-learning novice, what does it mean to have a player represent the country? I mean, beyond missing matches, just being out there as a known member of your club?
Yeah, it's big. It's big for Darlington. Liam's British, so he's actually not.
Oh, right.
Part of that.
By the way, you think Liam would have been a giveaway?
He is injured, which is tough. But would not have been with the U.S. But with Darlington, it's awesome. I think he is such a good player, and people don't necessarily see it because he doesn't get the goals and the assists. When he scores, it's spectacular. But I think there's kind of this hope and this thought that he should be scoring more. But he doesn't need to impact the game. And I think we're seeing that when he plays on this level with the national team, how good of a piece he is, how much better he makes the U.S. when he's in there. And they're seeing, okay, he does the same thing for the Timbers. Now I'm maybe starting to realize what it is about him, why he is so special, why he's such a good player. For him, it's kind of the American dream. Born in Liberia, a refugee, moved to the U.S. when he was 9, just got his citizenship now about 2 years ago in November of 2015. And now he's starting for the national team. It's a great story. Another guy who's a great guy and a great player. Really big for him to see him kind of continue to have his career flourish on the international level.
Now, I mentioned the match coming up on Root TV, 5 o'clock, Channel 734. Now that I got one right, I'm going to play it up. But
yeah, there you go.
Houston is unbeaten at home, 8-0-2. Yep. Timbers took them early on, third match of the season, 4-2. And this is the last meeting. And while you guys still have a dozen games left, considering the Dynamo are 2 points ahead in the West, safe to say there's a little extra oomph in this one?
Yeah, it's a big game. Houston's really, really good at home, as you mentioned, 8-0-2. It's not the best record. It's the second-best record in MLS, but they have scored the most home goals in MLS, 28. So they average 2.8 goals per game at home, which is an insane number. They've only allowed 9 goals at home. So they are so good there. It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. As you mentioned, the standings are so tight. Houston's just 2 points ahead, and it's still a little early, but it's not. I mean, there's only 12 games left for the Timbers, getting to be kind of the final third of the season. And it's big. I don't think they're expected to win. A win just like last week in Vancouver would be absolutely massive. It's going to be really hard. A point would be a good point. A win would be an awesome win. And Houston just lights out at home. So the Timbers are going to be in for it defensively, especially.
All right. Before I let you go, can't pass on what's happening at your old stomping grounds. When we talked last time, seemed like the 2016 World Series title might have had to carry you over into 2018. They made an addition with Quintana, bats warming. Lo and behold, look who leads the Central. So how are you feeling these days about your Northsiders?
Never a doubt in the Cubs. It's the exact opposite feeling it had been for 100-plus years, where you knew it was not going to work out. The team does feel like it was like a matter of time, I thought. I mean, you saw how good they were last year. They were the best team in baseball. And, yeah, they got off to maybe a little bit of a championship hangover this year, but the talent was still there. I think maybe the Cubs were fortunate that nobody really ran away with the Central. Obviously, there's, you know, you look at the Dodgers and there's some other teams that are running away with their division. Cubs didn't have kind of an insurmountable gap at the All-Star break like maybe some other divisions there are. And, yeah, I think I was confident they were going to turn it around, get it going, and they have. And here we go. I thoroughly expect back-to-back World Series titles.
No sweat. Had it all the way. He is the voice of the Portland Timbers. Big match Sunday, 5 o'clock in the West, Root TV at Houston. On Twitter, follow along at Jake Zivin. Jake, always fun catching up. Look forward to talking again soon.
Absolutely, Steve. Great to talk to you. Take care.
All right, take it easy.